Good evening, good afternoon, everybody. I am very excited to be here. And just to give you a little heads up as to where I am, I'm in the middle of a family vacation in a place called Nachsholim. Nachsholim is on the beach of the Mediterranean, and we're here with all of our children, all of our grandchildren, and they're busy barbecuing. And they promised they'd save me some meat. So we're hopeful. Anyways, we're working on a hotspot on my phone. The Wi-Fi did not work. And I am praying that this is not going to freeze out. But I'm going to let you know ahead of time that if I freeze out, if I become unstable, and I see it says now my connection is unstable. If my connection becomes unstable and I get thrown out, I will come back in. And just let's be patient, and hopefully it's going to be okay. All right, so here we are. Let's see. I'm going to start off by sharing my screen, and we're going to rediscover resilience again, yet again. We're going to be doing this four times over the next 4 weeks. And for those of you who are joining us, today, for the first time, I can encourage you to look over our first session. The recording of the first session is available on the OU website, on the Project Resilience website. I had promised you that they were going to post my handout, and they didn't. And therefore, I'm made an OU Resilience page for all of you on my own website. My website is very simple. It's www.naomibaum.com. And at the very top, you'll see the next category is OU Project Resilience. Click on that and you'll get the handout. You'll get a copy of the slides, and you'll get it updated every week after the session. So that, again, for you folks this week. So I am very curious to hear how many of you did your homework? How many of you spent some time breathing? I'm really eager to hear. And I hope you'll share with me. And let me know about that. And you can write in the chat. And if I don't read the chat during the session, I get sent the chat after the session, and that works fine. And then I can see as well. So just to give you a little bit of update, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be checking in and checking our stress levels again, as we did last week. We're going to do some mindful breathing again. We're going to do a quick review of what the building resilience model looks like. What is it all about? And then this week, we're going to focus on a model of coping called basic PH, and we're going to practice using the basic PH. And hopefully, I'm going to slip in a little bit about gratitude and self-compassion as well. So we have a big program, and we have 55 minutes, and let us get going. Okay, so let's check it out now. Rachel, if you could put up the poll so we can check out what is our stress level right now on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being not stressed at all and 10 being very, very stressed out, completely stressed out. Where am I right now? And as you answer, I'm going to give 60 seconds for this. And as you answer, I'm going to figure out myself where I am. Okay. So Rachel, it's 60 seconds. No matter how many people we've got, I'd like you to close it out. And you can post our results immediately so we can take a look. Beautiful. Okay, so we have We see most people are around five, at least the median is five. We have some at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and of course some at 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so now we're gonna close this. We can close the poll and we're gonna move on to the next. And here we are, this is not the Yam HaTichon, this is not the Mediterranean, that would have been a nice thing to take a picture of, but the sun is just about at this place right now as we speak. So have a look at the picture if you'd like, or close your eyes, put your feet on the ground, get comfortable in your chair, and just begin to notice your breath. Breathing in and breathing out. And breathing in and out. And just like we did last week, you can count your breath. You can count four on the in-breath and five on the out, if you like. Or you can use words. You can say in and out. In and out. Let's take another two breaths. And just notice how you're feeling in your body right now. You can take a quick scan of your body. Notice from the top of your head to the tip of your toes, how is your body feeling right now? Just notice. Notice what emotions are coming up for you. Notice the sounds you hear around you, the temperature of the room. Just become aware. And when you're ready, open your eyes and come back to the room. Come back to this beautiful photo that I took. And now, Rachel, again, we're gonna launch the poll and see what is my stress level right now. So Rachel, if you can launch that poll, if you're here and listening, I think you are. No, you're not here. There you are. Okay. So again, on a scale of 1 to 10, have a go at it. Punch in your answers. We'll give you 60 seconds. And when the 60 seconds are up, Rachel, you can post the results. That will be great. Okay, do we have results? We must be nearing 60 seconds. There we go. Oh my goodness, our stress levels went up. How could that be? Well, actually they didn't go up because 10 dropped, 9 and 8, 7 did get a little higher, but I think that came from the 10, 9, 8 folks who went down. We'll assume that. And then 4, 3, 2, and 1 are a little bit, 4, 3, and 2 are a little bit higher. So actually you could answer for yourselves. Did my stress level go down or did it go up? Sometimes it does go up. Sometimes actually when we stop and breathe, it may make us anxious. That happens. I know for myself, I went down from a 5 to a 4. So it's not a huge drop, but it was good to just stop for a minute and notice that I was hot. Notice that my head was pounding a little bit. Probably got a lot of sun today, and very good. So I'm going to encourage you to continue with that homework over the next week, to continue breathing, to continue the mindful breathing, and you will find the handout for that on my website, which I'm going to show on the final screen. So if you didn't catch it, you can catch it there. Okay, so I want to talk for a few minutes before we get into coping. I want to spend a few minutes talking about gratitude and a gratitude meditation. There is wonderful research showing that people who spend a little time every single day being grateful are less depressed, happier, have less illness, have better relationships. A whole slew of things come from just expressing gratitude. And what does that mean to express gratitude? That means stopping and saying thank you for, or I am grateful for. Now I'm talking here in the under the auspices of the OU, the Orthodox Union, and certainly we can talk about God here and thanking God. And if we daven every day, if we pray every day, we wake up every morning, the first thing we say is Mode ani lefanecha, or Moda ani lefanecha. I thank you, God, that you have returned my soul to me. And that is a gratitude meditation. But you know, so many of us have been saying this prayer for such a long time that it's kind of rote, unfortunately. So one thing to do is try to turn that out of the rote mode and make it a real gratitude meditation. Another way of doing a gratitude meditation is to, and I'm going to encourage you to do this right now, we're going to take 3 minutes to do this right now. Write down 5 things that you are grateful for. They can be both big things and or small things. You can thank God for your good health, for your wonderful husband, for your children and grandchildren. You can thank God that you have a roof over your head or food at the table. You can thank God for little things like the pair of shoes that you bought yesterday that you really like, or the good meal that you are planning on cooking today, or the fact that you have a good book to read. You can thank God for really anything. So it doesn't matter how big or how small, just take a few moments. I'm going to be quiet now, and I'd like you to write down 5 things that you are grateful for. Okay, and you can obviously continue this later, but what I'd like you to do, and this is part of your homework, I'd like you to do this every single day for the next week. Write down 5 things that you are grateful for. You can do it before you do your breathing, after you do your breathing. It should take about just a couple of minutes. You don't have to spend too much time thinking about it. And like I said, these can be big things or little things. It really doesn't matter. And then I want you to notice how you feel after completing the writing assignment each time. And you can do that right now. Notice how you're feeling right now as compared to how you felt just a few minutes ago. Any difference? Any change? Maybe yes, maybe no. It's very interesting that the gratitude research, and this is the next slide, gratitude, I mentioned all these things, correlates with a feeling of greater happiness, more positive emotions, better health. Up on this research, it's really interesting research. Seligman is one of them out of the University of Pennsylvania. Emmons, another one. McCullough is another one. And Their studies show, they did a study over one of them. I can't remember. I think it was Emmons did a study over a period of 12 weeks and found that the results became stronger as the weeks went by. So the first few weeks, there wasn't such a strong effect, but as the weeks went by, the effect became significantly stronger. So I would keep with this, try this practice, see what it's like for you, and see what happens next. Okay, now we're moving into coping. Oh, yeah, and I forgot. I actually wanted to, I said we were going to do a quick review, and I see that I didn't put in a slide a quick review of the building resilience intervention. The building resilience intervention that we talked about last week is the four-step intervention, and the first step was looking at the self, how the mind and the body work in synchrony, are connected. How we talked about stress and reducing stress. That was week one. This week we're talking about coping. How do we cope with difficult situations? And we're gonna spend most of our time this week talking about coping. And the third foundation or pillar of this program has to do with emotions and talking about our emotions, being able to be empathic towards ourselves, listening to ourselves, recognizing our emotions, recognizing how we are feeling, and also being able to listen to other people as well. And this is most important when it comes to difficult emotions, because so many of us have learned to push down those difficult emotions, push down the feelings of sadness, push down the feelings of fear, worry, shame, push those away. Those are bad. And what we have learned over the years is if we push emotions away, whether they be bad or good, then we end up pushing all emotions away. We end up being really in a very narrow bandwidth of feeling. And it's really important to learn how to listen to ourselves, listen to how we're feeling, notice those feelings, notice where we're feeling them in our bodies. And we're going to do that next week. So we have an exciting session number three and session number four. We're going to talk about meaning in life, how we find meaning, how we live lives full of meaning, and how important meaning is for building resilience. So that's week number four. But today, our session is on coping. And the first thing I'd like to do is do a little bit of a poll. What do you do to help yourself when you are distressed or feeling down? And I'd like you to either refer to www.menti.com, and here is the code that should work. I'm going to leave this on for a minute, and then I'm going to move over to the it's really a word cloud. I'd like you to answer this question with distressed or feeling down in a word or two. And you can say, I take a walk, I talk to a friend, I listen to music, I tune out, I draw, I eat, I go to sleep. There's so many different things we might do. So I want to hear what you do when to help yourself when you are distressed or feeling down. And certainly during this time of COVID-19, all of us, including me, all of us have had our ups and our downs, and many, perhaps many more downs than we're used to having with life so out of control. So I'd like you to go over to the QR code and or www.menti.com, go over to this code. And now I'm going to go to a new share. Let's see if we get this. Here we go. Yes. There we go. So we've got some answers already. Wonderful. Eat, sleep, watch TV. Wonderful. Keep going. So you can answer two or three times. And of course, the things that come up more than once end up being bigger. And if any of you are having trouble with the mentee, you can write down what you'd like on the chat. We'd be happy to hear you on the chat as well. So I see that more than half of you are very adept and doing fine. And if you're having trouble with it, do not despair. Just go over to the chat and chat down your answers. Okay, let's see what we've got in chat. Take medication. Oh, okay. That's an interesting answer. Panic, exercise, fragrance, breathing, EFT, tapping. Great. Okay, so let's take a look at some of these things. And some of these things, we may do some of them some of the time. Maybe there are things that we never do, we would like to do maybe. But it's kind of neat to see. And maybe I'll post this on the website as well so you can take a look and see what people do. Because usually when I do these kind of exercises, we are in a workshop where we have interaction and people can hear each other. So it is a little frustrating here that we can't talk directly about it. There I see somebody wrote Qigong. Yay, somebody heard that. Okay, so now we're going to new share, go back to here and move along. And we're going to talk about the basic pH model. The basic pH model is a model that was conceptualized by Muli Lahad and Ofer Ayalon. They're two colleagues of mine here in Israel who did significant work with populations that were exposed to trauma. Both of them lived and worked up in Kiryat Shmona when Kiryat Shmona was being constantly bombarded by missiles. And this goes back to the 1980s. So this model has been around for a long time and has really been very popular in Israel. And you will soon see why. It is relatively easy to understand and very applicable. So I like this picture because it reminds us that everybody is different. And if we looked at that beautiful word cloud that we made with all of the different things that we do, we see that there's a whole range. Some people talk to people, some people daven, some people use their bodies, do yoga, qigong, or walk, some people eat. Obviously, some of our coping tools are better and stronger than others. Some of them may be destructive. You know, we don't always do things that are good for ourselves when we're coping. And this is a chance to look at what is my go-to mode and is this something that I want to continue? Okay, so the way the basic pH model works is that according to Lahad and Ayalon, there are at least six channels of coping that people use. You can categorize just about everything into these six They call them channels. We could call them categories of coping. And we might see, for example, about ourselves, that I'm a person, when I'm feeling distressed, I reach out to other people. I'm a very social person, and I need other people, and I reach out to other people. Somebody else, on the other hand, might say, oh, when I'm feeling down, the last thing I want to do is be near somebody. I just want to go take a run. I want to go take a walk. I just want to be by myself. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. And that's it. So we know that people are different, and what works for one doesn't necessarily work for the other, but it is helpful to know about ourselves, what works for us, and also to know about the people we live with. It's good to know about our spouses, our children. What is their go-to method? Are they social kind of people? Are they people who go to the body, the physical? Do they start making lists and problem solving? Are they more cognitive? What is their go-to method? And if one of our go-to methods isn't working, we can perhaps find something else in that category, or we might have a chance, an opportunity to jump to another category. So it's good to remember that we all have individual coping styles, and identifying our own or those of the people around us. For example, if I am the kind of person who goes to a friend, and I think that my husband should do the same. You have a problem. Why don't you come talk to me about it? Why don't you talk to your friend about it? And that's about the last thing he'd want to do. If I keep harping on that, that's not going to really get me very far. On the other hand, if I know that he's a physical kind of person, and the most important thing for him to do at this point might be to work out, take a run, go for a walk. So then I could encourage or suggest that he might want to do that. Same for kids. So what is basic PH? The six categories, and usually we work this out from the kinds of things people do, but we'll see how we do that in a moment. The categories are B, belief. This is the basic PH, the acronym. B is for belief systems. A is for affect. S is social. I is imagination. C is cognitive. PH is physical. And I think you can really understand what each of these are. Belief systems, it's not only religion, but it can also be religion. So for example, if my go-to is to daven or say Tehillim, well, that's related to my belief in God or the way I understand that the world works, or prayer, and I would probably put that under B. If I cry, my first go-to is to cry and kind of release some emotion. Well, that would be affect. If I call my mother, call my best friend, that would be social. I'm going to skip imagination for a moment, go on to cognitive. If I make lists and problem solve and prioritize and try to think things through, that would be cognitive. And PH, physical, is obviously all those physical things we do. So what is imagination? Imagination is something that doesn't quite fit neatly in any of the other categories. It might have to do with going out to nature. It might be meditating or guided imagery. It might be going to the movies. Now, going to the movies could be a very social activity, but it could be that I go to the movies so that I can kind of get lost in the world of the movies. Obviously, we're not going to movies now, but if we're watching, reading a book could be imaginative. It definitely could be imaginative. So let's take a look back for a moment. Thank you all, by the way, who shared on the chat. I'm not going to take the time to put it on the Menti now, but I want to go back to that mentee for a moment and let's take a look at some of those things. So eating, ask yourself, which one of the categories does eating go in? And if you said physical, you'd probably be right. What about talking to a friend or calling a friend? What would that be? Right, social, you got it. Okay, what about, let's do some of the trickier ones. Crying would be affect. Taking a shower is physical. Taking a walk is physical. Walk in nature, that would be both physical, but also imagination, because the person wrote here nature, and there's something about nature that really sparks the imagination. Ocean, like going to the ocean. Learn the daf, new challenge. Learning the daf would be something, for the most part, would probably be cognitive. Learning the daf would be pretty cognitive. Maybe there's some imagination there too, because some of those stories are fairly imaginative. Organizing is cognitive. So you see how we categorize all these things, and I'm gonna give you a chance in a moment. We're gonna go back to the basic pH, and what I'd like you to do is, first of all, categorize what you wrote. Only you know what you wrote on the Menti or in the chat. Take a moment in your notebooks or on your piece of paper to write down what was your coping, what was your coping method, what did you do, and which one of these categories it would fall under. Let's do that for a moment. And now what I'd like to do, we're gonna do another exercise. What I'd like, and this exercise has a few parts to it. It's pretty short, but it has a few parts to it. What I'd like you to do is make sure you have a piece of paper. If you don't have a piece of paper, go and get one now. I'm gonna wait 30 seconds. I always feel like I should be singing the Jeopardy tune as I give you 30 seconds. I need some kind of like background music to count out the time, but go get a piece of paper nearby. Choose a difficulty that you are having in this current COVID-19 crisis. And it can be anything. What difficulty are you having now, or have you had over the last couple months during this COVID-19 crisis? And it could be financial, it could be social, it could be marital. So many difficulties have come up for so many people. So pick one difficulty that you have been experiencing over the last several months and write it down. And now what I'd like you to do is think about what is helping you cope with this current crisis. What is helping you cope with this, either with the current crisis in general or with this particular difficulty that you are having? What is helping you? You might answer questions like, what is helping me get through the day? What or who is helping me cope? What makes me feel good? And write down, you can write down several answers, more than one. The more coping methods you have, the better off you are. Because as we know, and we talked about last week, resilience is flexibility. And so often, one coping method stalls out on us, doesn't work. We're in a new situation here. What used to work doesn't work for me now. I need to try something else. So the more things that I have in my repertoire, the better off I am. So write down the answers, some of the answers. What is helping me get through the day? What's helping me cope? What makes me feel good? I'm going to give you a minute or two to do that. And now, if you haven't finished, don't worry, you're still going to have some more time. What we're going to do now is go over to sticky notes. And let's see how I'm going to do this with you. This is how we're going to do this. We are going, no, this is where we were before. This is where we want to be. I'm going to put this, control C, I'm going to put this back in the chat so that you can do this in the chat. Hold on. We know how to do this. We can do it. Yep. This is how we do it. How do we do this chat? I have to go to the chat, right? Chat is here, and I'm sending this to everybody. This is in the chat. The link where I want you to go right now is right there. Okay, I just put the link up, and I'd like you to go there, and that link should bring you over to this bulletin board. And you should be able to write on this bulletin board. So for example, if your it requires login, it shouldn't require login. You should be able to write indirectly. Try it again. If it requires login, then we struck out on this. But I did this, I worked this out with before, and it actually worked. It does require login. Shoot. Strike out. Well, I'm going to figure this out by next week. So what I want you to do is just take a look at this and let's together, and you can write some of your answers in the chat. We'll do this by chat, okay? Let's try to put a couple in each category of the things that you do to cope. So let's say you call a friend. So write in the chat, call a friend, social, and then I will put it up there for you, okay? So being outside, and that is definitely physical, so we're gonna write that down. Being outside, okay, and let's see, this is supposed to work. Post. I want to post it. So, oh my goodness, breathing, physical, yes. Breathing. It's just kind of what's coming up here. Oops. So we're going to do this. Breathing. Let's see. We're going to post that too. We're going to put it over. We're going to move it over there to the physical. Make a list. Great. So what is make a list? You didn't tell me what it is, Chava B, but I happen to know that making a list is a cognitive activity, and we are going to post it under cognitive. Right, somebody else wrote cognitive list. Taking webinars like this, it is cognitive, yeah. Studying, learning. Okay. And we're gonna post that. And that's really been a great way of coping. during COVID. There certainly has been a lot around cognitive. Now that's interesting. I think that praying has it may have a cognitive element. It may also have an affective element, but I would put it under belief. So since I'm running the board today, I'm going to put it under belief. Wine, yoga, walk, definitely all physical. Reading books written by resilient people. So reading books, what do you say about reading books? I think reading books is cognitive. And by the way, I have a new book coming out about resilience. Yep, it is coming out. You can pre-order it on Amazon. We're going to start advertising next week, but it's already up there. If you look me up, speaking with a professional is cognitive. Right. Torah mates phone session, cognitive. Great. So what are the things we're missing here? What about social? Vent, affect, social. Great. I think that is right. Vent, you know, if we're venting to a friend, I think I'm going to give it, I go with you, affect. We have to put it somewhere, but it really could go in both. And that's the interesting thing. It doesn't only have to be in one. Listening to inspiring music. What do you think that is? To inspiring music. For one, would put that in imagination. That's kind of that category that catches things that we do that sometimes we're not quite sure where it goes. Shopping, physical and imagination. Yeah, I think so. We're going to put shopping under imagination because we're always imagining what that shopping is going to do for us. Does it do it? Not so much. Let's see. Social, art projects, keeping busy, being creative. Being creative could be imagination, it could be physical, it could be cognitive. It really could be a lot of different things. Reading can also be imagination, particularly if you're reading novels. So we have a lot of things. It's interesting that we don't have too much under social. I find that really interesting, and I'll tell you why. So often, when I give workshops, at least when I gave workshops before COVID-19, so in most workshops, you'd get almost always a tremendous amount of social, calling friend, calling mom, talking to a spouse. And it's interesting here on our chat that the social has really kind of gone down. I guess it's not surprising considering what COVID has done. It has socially distanced us. So Google chat with family would be social. That's one way to do it. Google chat with family and friends. Yeah. But certainly COVID has put a kink, I think, a big kink into our social lives. Okay, so there we go. So we're just going to look at this list. And if you can, I invite you during the week, I'm going to post this also on the website, and I'm going to invite you over the course of the week to add things to this list. And I'm going to check in on this list once in a while. Somebody might put reading books in cognitive, and another person might put it in social, in imagination. And both are fine, okay? So it's not one is right and one is wrong. But really what this has done, and if you look at this lovely, I'm just gonna put one more in belief because we only have one there. The light at the end of the tunnel. And what do I mean by that? I mean, we have all different kinds of belief systems. It's not only davening and praying. It's beliefs. Do we believe that human beings are good? Do we believe that life is innately good? Do we believe that COVID-19 is going to be over one day? So if I believe that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, well, that really keeps me going. That hope keeps me going and is one very good way to cope. So I invite you over the course of the week to add to this bulletin board. And I'm sorry it didn't work as we were online, but you have the link and I'm going to post the link. And if you have to log on, so log on. It's a free site. You can make it's not a big deal to log on. I'm a little bit puzzled how come it didn't work this time, but we'll work it through again. You know, when you do things on Zoom, you always run the risk of snafu. So rolling with the punches is part of the game. All right. So now we're going to go back to our PowerPoint. And now the last part of our exercise is asking yourself the question, what else would you like to do that you don't already do? Choose something new or something you remembered that you used to do but haven't done in a while. Write it down. And I will put the link to the sticky notes on my website. Somebody just asked that. I will put that on my website as well. Give me a day or two to do since I'm on vacation, but it'll get up there. Okay. So choose something new or something you remembered that you used to do but haven't done for a while. And if we look at the board, hopefully people will post things on the board and it might jog our minds. I remember somebody said to me, oh yeah, I used to garden, because somebody said they gardened and that was helpful to them. She said, I actually want to get back out into the garden. And she did. And then I once gave a workshop, and this goes back many years, in Biloxi, Mississippi, the buckle of the Bible Belt. This was after Hurricane Katrina, way back in 2007 or 8, 7, I think it was. There was a person there who said, you know, really what I want to do? I want to do pottery. I've always wanted to do pottery. And sure enough, the next time we came back, we were presented with two beautiful bowls that she had made in her pottery class. And she said, I made them for you because without that exercise, I would never have gone to pottery. So here's an opportunity to think of something that you would like to do, something maybe you used to do, something you always wanted to do, but have something you haven't done for a while. Write it down. Now, it's true that during COVID-19, we can't do everything. I, for one, would like to travel. Traveling isn't in the cards right now. So let's try not to pick things that are going to be frustrating. Try to think of things that you can do now, whether it be learn a language, learn how to bake bread, languages, musical instruments, art, all sorts of things. Write it down and commit to doing it this week. As you see, it says actually do this. And if you'd like to commit in the chat, if you want to write down what you've chosen in the chat, go for it. We'd love to see it. The other thing I'd like you to do is think about which of the categories it fits in. Which of the six categories this new thing that you are committing to fits in? And is it a category that's very familiar to you, or is it a category that maybe you don't do? Maybe you haven't been such a physical person until now, but you know that this is something that you want to add into your life, and you're going to start learning a new style of dancing. Or whatever. So if you'd like to share, we'd love to see it. And let's see what we have next. Okay, this is our final slide, and then I'm going to take some questions. So one of the things that's really important during this time of COVID is to be compassionate to ourselves. I've asked you to choose something new to do, but I don't want you to beat yourselves up about it. I want you to be kind to yourself. Kindness towards yourself entails being gentle, supportive, and understanding, not punishing, not critical. Okay, so let's remember not to beat ourselves up. Try to treat ourselves like we might a friend. All of us are imperfect. That is the human condition. Nobody is perfect. Not me, not my spouse, not my children. Nobody is perfect. Let's allow for imperfection. And most importantly, what Christine Neff, and she's a person who's done a lot of research, this is the reference for self-compassion, Christine Neff. She has a website, she's written books, she has a lot of podcasts out there. She talks about developing self-awareness of feelings and thoughts without judging them. And this really relates to mindfulness, and it's a beautiful way to douse the inner critic. All of us have an inner critic, and some of us have an extremely active inner critic. Sometimes the inner critic is towards ourselves, sometimes towards the people we live with. And really, we would probably all be a lot happier if we could quiet that inner critic. So self-compassion, think about being nice to yourselves. Yes, I've asked you to do a whole bunch of things this week. Try to do them. Try to do them every day. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, don't beat yourself up, okay? So, homework for session two, continue the mindful breathing. Number two, write five things you're grateful for a whole week, and notice how you feel after writing each day. And number three, try to implement the coping activity you've chosen and committed to this week. And above all, be kind to yourself. So that is my plug for you. Yes, you can. And here is my website. I'm going to leave that up as I answer questions, because there will be quite a bit of information that I'm going to be putting up on the website this week. Okay, do all five things have to be different every day? I assume you're talking about gratitude, and the answer is no. You can repeat yourself every day. You can say you're grateful to your husband, you're grateful for your children, you're grateful for your God, you're grateful for the house you live in. They can be the same every day, no problem. Bibliographic sources you could post or send. So I've mentioned a few names. Christine F. at the end, when I talked about gratitude, I use Seligman, Emmons, McCullough. Those are the names. If you want to be more specific about what you're looking for, I'm happy to help you out. And very good. And if anybody would like to contact me, that's the next question, send me an email. My email is listed up here, naomi.baum@gmail.com. Again, it may take a few days for me to get back to you. End of the summer, lots of activity around here, lots of family activity around here. So it may take a few days to get back to you. I have a question on the A in basic pH. Many things we do to cope are connected to the A. Indeed, indeed. And what I said about the basic pH is that most of our coping mechanisms, or many of them, may fall into more than one category. And certainly affect may be underlying much of what we do. Let's say, for example, when I am feeling down, I like to listen to music, okay? I like to listen to sad music, okay? So what is that? I'm listening. Listening is a physical activity. Listening to music, that might be imagination. I'm kind of imagining sadness, sad worlds. Maybe I have sad images in my head. Maybe I heard this song and it brings up sad feelings. So affect is certainly in there. But a lot of the things that we are going to use as coping mechanisms have affect in them, no doubt about it. There are a lot of things that fall into more than one category, but usually one of the categories is a little bit more dominant. Okay. Right. I am familiar. Thank you, Rosalind. I am familiar with Padlet, and it doesn't require sign-in. It has its own issues, and that's why I like the sticky note. But maybe I'll go back to Padlet. So thank you for that. I appreciate that comment. Hug, is a hug social? That's a great question. Is a hug social? So that's one of those things that falls beautifully into both categories. It's physical, right? A hug is physical. And certainly in this time of COVID, a lot of us really feel the distress at not being able to hug our near ones and dear ones. It's very hard not to hug your grandchildren. It's very hard not to hug a good friend that you haven't seen in a long time. But there are very strong social elements there as well. So we have the COVID bump doesn't really take the place of the hug, but it's an acknowledgement. So yeah, I think hugs kind of go in both categories. Okay, and another comment, not sure if it came up on the chat. I've been spending my summer working on a class reunion, connecting with friends I haven't seen in years. Well, that's great. And that is very social. Terrific. And I bet that gives you both some meaning in your life, some interest, and it's a very social way to connect. So that's a wonderful way to cope. Okay, so I think we answered all of our questions. And let's see. Do we have anything left? Any further questions? We have about 10 seconds, 15 seconds. Any further questions, you can put it in the Q&A. I will just take a quick look to see if we have anything in the chat. Uh-oh, looks like we got some questions. Is it possible that it's Christy Neff? Yes, with a K. Thank you. Thank you, Marge. It's definitely possible. I probably got it wrong. And you don't see my book on Amazon yet. Well, it's called Is Resilience. So I'm going to write it down. You know what? I'm going to send it to you folks next week. Is Resilience. And I wrote it with a fellow named Michael Dixon. So, but it should be there. I saw it there today. It just went up today. But isn't a hug also affect? Yeah, there you go. It's also affect. So very good. Oh, thank you, Robin Gottlieb, for putting up my book. There you go. So, and if any of you are interested, by the way, this is a plug, since we're on the topic of books, I recently wrote a book all by myself about saying Kaddish for my mother. And that was certainly a book with a lot of affect. My mother passed away 3 years ago. I wrote a book called My Year of Kaddish, and you can take a look at that as well. Also available on Amazon. So have a look if you are interested. And that's the end of my plugs. And we got two more questions. Yofi, how do we communicate? Yes, you can visit my website. You can contact me by Gmail, my Gmail account. And please show the homework again. No problem. That sounds like a serious student. Love to show the homework again. Continue the mindful breathing, and that handout is currently on the site. The second thing is write 5 things you're grateful for daily for at least 1 week and notice how you feel after writing. And the third is to try to implement the coping activity that you have chosen and committed to this week, the new one, okay? The new one. And above all, and this should be number 4 and number 1, before and after and under and over, be kind to yourself. Okay, so over and out. It was a pleasure being with you. I hope the internet, I saw every once in a while, it was not stable. And I tried to slow down and stop when that happened. So I hope that the recording worked well and that you were able to follow along. I will put the slides up shortly, and there you go. Whatever else I said I was going to put up. Yes, the link, Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so have a good evening, a good afternoon, a good evening, and a wonderful, wonderful week. Take good care. Very good. Bye-bye.